Hey there, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, October 15th, 2007, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, Dr. Dick. That's me. Today's podcast is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find a link to this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, fetish gear, and wear right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the My Stockroom tab at the top of the page. Shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom is just so damn fun, and I might add, easy. Yes, sirree, sex fans. You can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those fun toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts and leering salesmen in unsavory neighborhoods because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit my stockroom today. Sex toys and props are just a click away. I have a really delectable show for you today. But before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. This is a no-pressure voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. We begin today with Dan, who's 32 and writes from Alberta, I assume, Canada. I'm a bisexual that is happily married with children. My wife and I have a great sex life. Every few months, I get an urge to have sex with other men. I've acted out on this several times and always practice safe sex. She has caught me surfing gay and bi porn a few times, and I think she knows that I have bisexual thoughts. She is interested in anal play with me and has used a dildo on me several times. Should I now come clean with her and risk divorce, which I don't want, or continue the way I'm going? I am of the mind that being on the up and up with one's primary partner is a real good thing, regardless of the issue. Practicing a deception, like you're doing, Dan, will take a toll on the quality of life that you share together. It sounds to me like you're trying to have your cake and eat it too, or to make a pun, your Kate and Eddie, too. Can't rightly say I think too highly of this. Most bisexual men I know wouldn't envy your arrangement either, because most of the bisexual men I know are not living dual lives. Most are out the closet bisexuals. They're happier and healthier than their closeted counterparts. They are also less likely to seek anonymous connections with other partners just to relieve their horniness, as you apparently do. In fact, when a good friend of mine, a bisexual himself, read your message, he was totally put off. He said that you're the kind of bisexual that gives bisexuals a bad name. Ouch! I may not go that far, but skulking around looking for cock like you do, while keeping the little woman at home in the dark, is a problem for me. This sort of behavior also militates against you forming any deeper connection with a guy than a quick furtive tryst might allow. How can years of this sort of thing be satisfying? Also, by siphoning off all your sexual energy, like you do, you blunt the need to channel some of that energy into finding a creative solution to your sexual needs and desires with your wife. You say you have a good sex life together. She sounds pretty understanding and open-minded. Most wives would freak for sure if they found their man choking his chicken to gay porn. Are you sure she'd fall apart if she knew that you were bi? I'll bet not as much as she would freak if she came to learn of your other life from someone other than you. Right? You're skating on some pretty thin ice there, my friend. Besides, most wives have this sixth sense when it comes to this sort of thing. She may know more about you than you give her credit for, and maybe she's just waiting to see how long it's going to take you to let her in on your little secret. And about the anal sex thing, I suggest that you incorporate more of that into your lovemaking with your wife. Hell, get her a nice strap-on as a gift for being so understanding. You can find a nice selection in my stockroom, today's podcast sponsor. I'd also suggest that you introduce your wife to your interest in bi porn. Who knows where this could lead? It could open a whole new world for you both. It's not inconceivable that one day you could find yourselves in a three-way or some group play. Stranger things have happened, don't you know? So Dan, why not give the old honest, straightforward approach a try for a change? Jettison the duplicity. It's going to wind up biting you in the ass one fine day, and not in a good way. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. Gary's up next, 47, from Northridge, California. I've heard a lot about checking your balls for possible problems, but no one ever says what lumps you have there naturally. At the low point of my testes, I feel a lump. I would explain it as if the area were feeling more like a cracked egg. You have the part that is globulous and is string tethered to the yolk. Is that exactly what's happening? Should you feel pain if you squeeze it? Especially trying to figure out if this is a lump or not. Listen, I applaud you taking note of your balls in such an inquisitive sort of way. Good for you. But before you do, you should have at least a rudimentary understanding of your testicular anatomy, so that when you do your self-exam, you can have some sense about what it is that you are examining. Why not do an internet search using the word testicle? You will find a diagram of these anatomical wonders. Then you'll be able to tell if there's anything in the diagram that looks even remotely like what you are feeling in your ball sack. If I were forced to guess, I'd say that you're actually feeling the base of the vas deferens, not your testicle itself. And applying pressure, like in a squeeze, will cause discomfort, yes. Finally, if you have a concern about what you think may be an abnormality, wouldn't it be best for you just to hightail it to your doctor for a look-see? Good luck. Dorian, 18, is next. He's from New York City. Is there a difference in penis size between races? Seriously? You need to get out more, darling. You betcha there's a difference in cock size between the races. While within each racial group, there is a natural diversity of size from tiny to gargantuan, there is no getting around the fact that there are more gargantuan Johnsons in some racial groups than others. At the risk of perpetuating a stereotype, compare some fine black dick to some sweet Chinese cock. Good luck. Next. Kent I. B. Pinker. Male, 32, from New Zealand. He writes, I'm curious about anal bleaching, in part just for the sheer vanity of it, but also as a surprise and kinky turn-on for my partner. I've done some research online, but I am scared after reading some of the horror stories. Any advice? Can't I be Pinker? I love it. You get the award for most clever pseudonym of the year. Congratulations. Listen, darling, if you're spending time considering anal bleaching, and yes, there is such a thing, you have way too much time on your hands. Anal bleaching is just the latest in the string of truly disturbing cosmetic trends sweeping the more money than brains crowd. What the fuck, folks? If your vanity extends to the hue of your rosebud, you're just too goddamn vain, in my humble opinion. This all started in the adult industry, don't you know? I guess some folks figured they weren't quite ready for their close-up, Mr. DeMille. Being part of that industry myself, I know how unforgiving hot lights and high-definition cameras can be. However, I still can't condone such a dangerous and reckless practice. So you're right to be scared off by the horror stories of bleaching gone bad. So I suggest, unless your hole is making you a whole lot of money, you forego even contemplating the procedure. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Next, we hear from Michelle, 32, Canada. She writes, "Tips to help when the man you are sleeping with has a small penis." Tips? No pun intended, I hope. Okay, here goes. Tip number one, grin and bear it. Tip number two, find a guy with more pork. Tip number three, get a dildo. Tip number four, find a sexual position, like doggy style, that will make the most out of every little bit of pecker the poor guy's got. Tip number five. Remember, it ain't always demeat, but it is always demotion. Tip number five. Introduce Mr. Mini Meat to the world of penis extenders. You can find some swell ones in my stockroom, this week's podcast sponsor. Good luck. Next, Wade, 19, from Wisconsin. In cock size is 4.5 inches too small? Why is it so small, and is there a way to fix it? Geez, you mean 4.5 inches erect? Yeah, that's kind of on the how adorable end of the size spectrum. It's not quite, oh my God, how pathetically small, nor is it, yikes, you'll put an eye out with that thing. Why is it so small? Sheesh, beats me. Maybe when the angels were handing out meat, you thought they said feet and you asked for petite. Is there a way to fix it? Are you suggesting it doesn't work, or are you just a size queen? While you're trying to figure that out, why don't you take a look at my posting, Much Ado About Very Little, or do a search for all my postings and podcasts that refer to cock size. You'll find them all right there on DrDickSexAdvice.com. Good luck. Next, we hear from William, who is 67, from Connecticut. Is there such a thing as being a homosexual watcher only? Getting an erection but not wanting to perform. All of human sexuality is on a continuum. Are you familiar with the Kinsey scale? The Dean of American Sex Research, Alfred Kinsey, his associate Wardell Pomeroy, and their colleagues developed this scale as a way of classifying a person's sexuality in terms of both behavior and fantasy. This is what they developed. Kinsey 0, exclusively heterosexual with no homosexual behavior or fantasy. Kinsey 1, predominantly heterosexual, only incidentally homosexual. most likely in fantasy alone. Kinsey, too, predominantly heterosexual, but more than incidentally homosexual. Fantasy for sure, and possibly behavior, too. Kinsey, 3, equally heterosexual and homosexual, in both behavior and fantasy. Kinsey, 4, predominantly homosexual, but more than incidentally heterosexual. Fantasy for sure, and possibly behavior too. Kinsey, 5, predominantly homosexual, only incidentally heterosexual, most likely in fantasy alone. And 6, exclusively homosexual with no heterosexual behavior or fantasy. These pioneering sexologists also discovered that an individual may be reassigned a different position on this scale at different periods in his or her life. It's conceivable that one could go from a Kinsey 0 to a Kinsey 6 in a lifetime, or just after a summer in San Francisco. The 7-point scale comes close to showing the many gradations that actually exist in human sexual expression. Back to your specific question, William. Yes, someone could be a Kinsey 6 in terms of fantasy and desire, but be a Kinsey 0 in terms of behaviors. We're amazing creatures that way, huh? Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Okay, some more quickies. David, 19, from Florida. I like my 6 inches and I work it well, but personally I want at least 7. Should I worry about it or what should I do, Doc? Thank you. Well, you shouldn't worry about it, pup. Like you said, 6 inches is plenty. Besides, where are you going to find that extra inch if you absolutely needed to get one? I don't see any on eBay. Shane, 18, from Las Vegas, writes, what is the most efficient way to masturbate? Try beating your meat like it owed you money? What, the way you jerk off isn't efficient? Dare I ask what inefficient method you are currently employing? How much more efficient do you want this exercise to be? Holy cow, are you in that much of a hurry? Jen, 33, writes next. Last night, my sex partner came on my face, and his semen, S-E-A-M-E-N, got in my eye. I woke up today, and my eye is bloodshot and a bit swollen. Am I okay? Bad luck. Bad shot. I think you mean semen, S-E-M-E-N, right? Because S-E-A-M-E-N are sailors, and boy, if you ever get a sailor in your eye, you'll wake up being a whole lot more than a little bloodshot and swollen, don't you know? Getting spooge in your eye is no picnic. It stings like the dickens. You should be okay, though. That is, if your sex partner is healthy. If he's not, if the redness and swelling continue, see your doc right away. Speaking of docs, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. 866-422-5680. Holly, 19, from Brisbane, writes, Hi, I have been with my partner now for 13 months. And the sex we are having is getting boring as both of us are females. I just want to know if there is anything you can suggest for us to do to help spice it up a tad. Yours thankfully, Hal. Yeah, that girl-on-girl sex thing can get mighty boring, huh? All that carpet munching and what for? Good thing you have turned to someone without a pussy or a clit for some helpful suggestions on spicing things up lesbian style. This sounds mighty fishy to me, and I don't mean fishy in that way. Hey, have you tried strapping one on? Check out my stockroom for a swell selection of sex toys and props to spruce up all that girl-on-girl action. Tim writes next, 37, Brooklyn. Do these penis enlarger pills work? And if they do, which ones are the best? Nope, they don't. So don't waste your money. Nadine's next, 31, Ontario. My boyfriend bugs me to give him a blowjob, and I just can't. And he's always bugs me, which bugs me even more. What can I do? Why can't you smoke yourself some nice pole, darling? It's all the rage these days. Is there any chance that you could learn to like it? Maybe you just don't know what you're doing down there. If you think there's a chance you might want to turn this aversion around, see my sexual enrichment tutorial, So You Want to Be a World-Class Cocksucker. You'll find it right there on drdicksexadvice.com. If you discover that there's simply no way you're ever going to stomach the idea of a cock in your mouth, maybe you need to find yourself a boyfriend without a dick. I think they're called lesbians. But wait, you might have an aversion to diving into a muff, too. In that case, maybe you should consider a convent. Next, Joe, 39, from Boston. He writes, why do women like sucking dick? They do? That would be news to me. And to that Nadine person I just responded to. She clearly begs to differ. Sure, I know some chicks love to suck dick. There are even those whose skill is renowned. They can suck the chrome off a trailer hitch. But I fear, given a man of humble hummer is an odious task for most women, it ranks right up there with having a bad hair day. Good luck. Dr. Dick, one more time, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Finally, we hear from Adam. He's 34, and he writes from the UK. I have been attracted to male children for years. Having been arrested for viewing child porn, I realize I need to pursue a celibate lifestyle. I realize that celibacy is a demanding lifestyle. What advice would you offer me? You present a particularly touchy issue for our culture, Adam. But before I respond, I'd like to help you with some of your vocabulary. You say you need to pursue a celibate lifestyle. I think you mean to say that you need to pursue an abstinent lifestyle. The two concepts, celibacy and sexual abstinence, mean different things. Unfortunately, way too many people use these terms interchangeably, which is not a good thing. It only serves to muddy the waters further. Celibacy has a very specific meaning. Let me whip out my trusty handy-dandy Funkenwagnall's dictionary. It says, celibacy is a state of being unmarried. Some people infer, especially those of a strict religious bent, that celibacy also connotes sexual abstinence. You see, religious people are of the mind that there is no legitimate sexual expression outside the confines of heterosexual marriage. But legitimate or not, unmarried people have always been and will always be sexual. So making that unfortunate connection between celibacy and abstinence is ill-advised and erroneous. The only thing we ought to be able to say for sure when someone identifies himself or herself as celibate is that he or she is not married. To assume a celibate person, even one who has taken a vow of celibacy, is sexually abstinent is quite a dangerous stretch indeed. Need I point out the very unfortunate sex abuse scandals that continue to plague the Roman Catholic Church? In the same way, if someone identifies himself or herself as sexually abstinent, the only thing we ought to be able to say for sure is that he or she is not engaging in any type of sexual expression. It would be false to assume that a sexually abstinent person is not married, because there are lots of married people who are indeed sexually abstinent. In your case, Adam, I believe you are telling me that you are both not married, celibate, and because of your particular sexual predilection, young boys, you must also be sexually abstinent. If I've got that right, and it's very important that I not misinterpret your words, then I think there's an option for you not yet considered. I firmly believe that we learn our sexuality. Everything we eroticize, in your case, boys, is a learned behavior. You once learned to eroticize boys, you can now learn to eroticize a more appropriate group of people. This isn't particularly easy to accomplish, but it's not impossible either. Anytime one of us discovers that the object of our desires is someone inappropriate to us, we need to adjust our eroticism immediately. This is the better part of being a sexually responsible person. Pedophilia is just one inappropriate eroticism. A father for his daughter, a mother for her son, a boss for a subordinate, a man for his neighbor's wife, a teacher for her student, a counselor for his or her client, a congressman for his page. Are you getting the picture? I hope so. And the list goes on and on. I believe learning to readjust one's eroticism to a more appropriate outlet is a much better option than trying to live sexually abstinent. The reason I believe this is that having a more appropriate outlet will at least give you an outlet for your pent-up sexuality. If you have no outlet, or limit yourself to masturbation, you will only intensify your longings and further fixate on the inappropriate object of your current desires. Like anyone trying to wean himself off a bad habit, the task ahead of you, Adam, will be challenging. But it will also be enriching and life-affirming. I hasten to add that you ought not try to do this on your own. Work with a sex-positive therapist on this. You're a relatively young man with many years ahead of you. These years could be filled with happy, healthy, and appropriate sexual expression. I encourage you to make that happen. Good luck. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I hope you enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. I remind you again that this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really fun for yourself and or all the perverts in your life. I'm confident that you'll find naughty things for everyone you know in my stockroom. And you can bank on that. We have a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. But not sure what to buy? Not to worry. Take a look at my monthly, ever so popular sex toy awareness feature right there on drdicksexadvice.com. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. You'll find a link to Dr. Dick's Stockroom right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads My Stockroom. Say, would you like to become a sponsor for one or more of my weekly sex advice podcasts? As you know, I plug a product or service at the beginning and end of each show, just like I did there. Each podcast has its own posting on my site, along with the name of the podcast sponsor and a banner for the product or service. The beauty part of this unique opportunity is that once a sponsor's ad is included in a particular podcast, that sponsor is embedded there forever. Your sponsorship also underscores your social conscience. Your marketing dollars will not only go to promote your product, but you will be doing so while helping to disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment programming. Simply put, you just can't get a better bang for your advertising buck. For further information, contact me at Dr. Dick at Dr. Dick Sex Advice. That's dr_dick@drdicksexadvice.com. And look for Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe. So until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.